Our mission at Resonate Church is to amplify His voice, demonstrate His love, and expand His kingdom. No matter the size of the trial we face, the way that we overcome them is always the same. In this message titled Taking Every Thought Captive, Pastor Paul dives into Romans and how we're supposed to fight all of our battles in the same way. If you're looking for the full video version of this message, that can be found on our YouTube channel at Resonate Church. I hope you enjoy the message, and if you do, please let us know by leaving a like and subscribing to our podcast.
I know I look a lot like the bass player, but we're not the same guy, okay? He didn't have a jacket on, all right? Good deal. Well, awesome. Well, neat. We have Josh and Macy here from, they went to Bible school. They're in school right now. And they just told us that Macy is pregnant. Yay! Woo! So now everybody knows. Everybody knows. They're going to want to talk to you afterwards. Amen. It's so good to have you home from school for a little bit. Awesome. And gosh, man, God is so good. All the time. Good deal. Well, Father, we thank you for your written word. It is your word. It is holy. It is precious. It is undeniably who you are, releasing your power. We open up our hearts and minds to your word today. Holy Spirit, the great teacher, teach us today. Help us to see and improve the way that we live and to bring glory to your name. And we appreciate you and love you in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Good deal. So, I want to just continue on with the series that we're doing, taking our thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. Very, very good portion of scripture here. Very good subject. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5 in the Passion Translation, I just think hits this pretty well. And it says this, for though we live in the natural realm, we do not wage military campaign employing human weapons, using manipulation to achieve our aims. Instead, what do we do? Our spiritual weapons are energized with divine power, effectively dismantling the defenses behind which people hide. People like their own comfort zones. We can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and breaks through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. Poof! Stop right there. Hold on. Think about this. Think about this. Demolish every deceptive fantasy. What would that be? You know, when we think of fantasy, we think usually all kinds of different things like this, but this is literally talking about anything that opposes God. Don't you think that your way is going to be better than God's way? It isn't a possibility. It never will be, amen? It cannot be, because God is your creator. He knows how you function. Now, if you're legalistic, you're going to take this and go, man, then I got to take it all captive to the law and all this other kind of stuff. But I want to share with you today that the Lord wants your thoughts captive so that you can think like Him. Have a closer relationship with Him. This is all about relationship. This is not about law. You earn this. You do this. You be good. You take every thought captive. You prove to me that you're just so good. This has everything to do with get to know me more. Get to know my ways. Get to know the way I think, the way I act, the way I talk. And guess what? Then we can have closer fellowship. We capture like prisoners of war every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to the anointed one. Oh, I love that. Can you imagine bringing all your thoughts to the Lord and going, bow? How many of our thoughts would have to change? Thoughts about yourself. Do we sometimes think thoughts about ourselves that are substandard to the way that God might think about us? Sometimes you don't think you're loved or you could be accepted or that you're good enough to do whatever God calls you to do. Many times you're going to feel that way because whatever God asks you to do, you need His power and His ability to do it. No matter what it is. which causes you then to have to get closer to him. Relationship. You ever have one of those friends that you were so close to that, man, you didn't even have to hardly talk. You could almost think each other's thoughts. Yeah, that's what the Lord wants. The way that that relationship got so close is you guys spent so much time together, talking with each other, doing things together, that you just knew how they thought. I literally, my best friend growing up, we literally were that way. I mean, it was hilarious how we did not need to say hardly a thing, and we would be busting up, seeing something. We were thinking the same thing. And then later on, we go, were you thinking this? Yeah, it's just hilarious. So much fun, so close. That's what the Lord wants with us. It's not a matter of prove yourself, work yourself. It's a matter of, I want to know the Lord. And he wants me to know him. You see, God being perfect is never going to change. Now, he relates to you according to who you are and where you're at and all these different types of things. He's so gracious, so good. You know what I mean? If you are parents and you have kids and got more than one kid, you know that you relate to them differently because they're different personalities and different things like this. You have different giftings, different, all the, you know, whatever, different, you know, ways of humor and all that kind of stuff. And the Lord does that, but the Lord never changes. He's not going to, you know, he's not going to think differently tomorrow. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. So why would the Lord want us to do this? Think his ways and think his thoughts. Well, one, so that we can eliminate the things in our lives that would hinder that relationship. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. I want to read this to you, and I'm sure it'll come up. 1 Thessalonians, if I can find it. There we go. It moved. It says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Now the Lord wants to do this. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He calls you as faithful who will also do it. I love that. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you see here that the Lord is saying that we're a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body. When you get born again, when you accept Jesus Christ, you surrender to him, your spirit gets born again. And the Bible says that your spirit is one with the Lord. 1 Corinthians 5:17 says, old things passed away, behold, all things become new. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in Christ. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives inside of me. So when I get born again, there is a miraculous change. Old things pass away. I become righteous. I've been crucified. But yet now I live by the faith of the Son of God. Man, that is an awesome thought. That is an awesome thing. So the Lord, you know, says that that we are spirit, soul, and body. Hebrews 4:12 says this. In fact, I don't know, did Hebrews 4:12? You're wonderful. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even division of the soul and the spirit, that is your mind, will, and emotions, and your spirit, and the joints of the marrow, which is your body. And it is discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So the word of God is the thing that divides those things. It's the word of God that will tell you that your flesh or your carnal nature is out of control. It is the word of God that will tell you that, man, you're walking in the spirit. The word of God will tell you, yeah, I'm thinking like God. The word of God is the thing that we need to value. It should be a major priority in every body's life. And so, being born again, I now take my thoughts captive so that I can learn to think in line with the born-again spirit or in the nature of God. When I do that, then I will get victory in life. Romans 8, I like this portion of scripture. Romans chapter 8, let's go there. Is this okay with y'all? Romans chapter 8 says, now that I'm going to read to you several portions of scripture here, and I'm going to walk around. There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So this is talking about those who have chosen to get born again. This is not those who have chosen to, like, you know, I don't know how to explain it other than that. This is about being born again. This is talking about relationship with God. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to make sure I'm connected in the Spirit. I'm going to make sure that my spirit dominates. And it goes on. Then it says, who live according to Romans 8, therefore condemnation of those who walk flesh according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus set me free from the law of sin and death. I am so thankful for that. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. I love that. Jesus took care of the sin problem. Jesus took care of the sin nature. That's why we can get born again. And guess what? There's nothing on the inside of you that wants to sin. That's why you don't need law. And if you will renew your mind with the Word of God, you will fulfill every bit of the law and much more. You're going to actually become like Jesus. Jesus said the same things I do, the works that I do, and all that kind of stuff, you will do. Why? Because I'm going to learn to think like him. So he made sure the Word of God was written down so we know how he thinks. And then the challenge is I'm going to take the weapons of my warfare, I'm going to take my thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ, even when things in my life don't look like Christ. Some of you, I talked to somebody, we got him born again a month ago. I love it, man. Dude, just got born again. He radically got born again. It was awesome. We were talking the other day, and I go, man, it's so good. All your sins are gone. He goes, I know, but I'm struggling with that. I did a lot. I go, Jesus did more. That's all you got to know. Jesus did more. I'm not saved because I repented of all my dead works. I repented of living for myself, and I chose to live for Jesus. That's what I did. And the blood of Jesus Christ was greater than all the things you did. Man, isn't that good? That is good news. I like that. My Jesus that wants relationship with me did more than I did. So I can have a relationship with him and not be all condemned and all this other kind of stuff. Yeah. And the closer you get to him, the less sin will be in your life. You want to get rid of that pornography addiction? Now, I know there's several people in this room that have one. Why? Because I know the stats. That's all. I know the statistics, okay? So there's a whole bunch in this room or watching online that are addicted to pornography. You want to get rid of that? Get close to Jesus. Because someday you're going to be worshiping your pornography, and all of a sudden the Lord's going to go, hey, I love you. And you're just going to go, he's not going to come and say, I condemn you. He's going to come and say, I love you. And I want to fellowship with you, and it's pretty hard when we're doing this. And you'll have the grace of God then to change. There's all kinds of sins. You know, you could add into that. You know what I mean? I just picked pornography because it popped in my head. You know what I mean? But it could be gossip, could be unforgiveness, could be whatever. They're all sins. Anything contrary to what God, the way God thinks and the way he says, is a sin. That's why he took care of sin, because there's no way you and I could stop it enough to build a relationship with him. So chill out. Somebody needs to hear that. And just have fun building a relationship with him. Okay? Y'all beating yourself up. You know what I mean? There's somebody in this room that's beating themselves up. You just chill out. This is about Jesus wanting a relationship with you. Yeah, life will change. Yeah, there is a way that God communicates to us through our conscience. That's why in Romans 1 it says, those who didn't have the law will be just as without the law. Why? Because they have a conscience. Every human being born has a conscience. We will understand good and evil. Now, if the conscience is trained by the Word of God, it is a good standard. But everyone has one. Then the Word of God is the foundation by which we judge all things. And then the Spirit of God will agree with the Word of God, and then he speaks to us that way. Then he goes on to all kinds of just various ways of teaching and, you know, talking to us and things like that. Can be as various as angels, dreams, you know, circumstances, whatever, other people, prophecy, all kinds of different things that he can use to communicate to us. It says that it was weak, the law, because of the flesh. And then he goes in verse 4, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who did not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So conquering sin has to do with learning to walk in the Spirit. I cannot walk in the Spirit effectively until I renew my mind with the Word of God. Because I won't know Spirit thoughts. I won't know Spirit ways. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Would you say that your mind is set on the things of the Spirit? That you have prioritized the things of the Spirit? Like, I'm going to read my word every day. The stats of a successful life, if somebody just reads the word 4 times a week, dramatically increases. 3 times a week, you're not much better off than somebody who doesn't know the Bible at all. 4 times, it goes way up, and then it just dramatically goes up from there. Just reading the Bible. These are stats. These are statistics. For to be carnally or naturally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. How do I know that I'm thinking in line with the Spirit? I got life and peace in me. Come on, somebody. Because the carnal mind is enmity or an enemy against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. For brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, but if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you by the Spirit put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And so here we get, God made us in his image, a trinity, so to speak, spirit, soul, and body. We have a spirit that gets born again. And now you know what happens when you get born again. There's a change on the inside. Your conscience becomes a little bit better guide. There's want to's that change. Come on, somebody, automatically. But if we don't dive into the Word of God, it really kind of stops there, and that's what we call a carnal Christian. In other words, you're born again, God loves you, and you're in relationship with him, but your relationship with him isn't growing because you're not learning his vocabulary. You're not learning the way he thinks. And the Lord wants something so close that when he thinks something, you laugh. When he thinks something, you and him do it together. And so now, by the Spirit, I will conquer all the deeds of the flesh. And I'll be able to have the right responses. Now, how does this work? Romans 12, let's go to Romans 12 since we're in Romans. It says in verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So now as I take my thoughts captive, it says to make your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I think this means to discipline yourself in a way that you choose not to sin anymore. Obviously, Jesus said, if your eye causes you to sin, to pluck it out. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. You know what I mean? He says, it's better for you to not have as many body parts, but make it into heaven. Okay. So I do think that there's a discipline that when you know something's, you know something's wrong and it's evil. I mean, you just avoid those things. But then there's a whole bunch of other things that you don't know, and you might not even have the power to change. Then you need to learn to walk in the Spirit. So you make your body a living sacrifice. Why? Because this is love. And I renew my mind because he loves me and he wants to have a relationship with me. So your spirit's born again change, no doubt about it, on your way to heaven. Now, what does it take to get born again? That's a good question, because I think a lot of people pray a prayer but don't really have a miraculous change. If you did not have a miraculous change, you're not born again. You need a miraculous change on the inside. When you have that, then we have our mind to deal with. Then we can line up with our spirit, and then our flesh learns to be disciplined and hear no to be able to fulfill those things. Why? Because I'm in love with the Lord and I want to be closer to him. Learning to discipline your flesh to be able to display love. You know, I love my wife and she knows I love her, and but she's got this love language called acts of service. Okay, one, it doesn't make sense to me at all, but that's okay because it's not my love language. It's just not a part of the way God designed me. I don't think if you love, I mean, I don't care if you come mow my lawn or do some nice stuff for me. I think it'll be cool, but I'm not going to feel loved because of that necessarily. You know what I mean? It's much different for me. So yesterday I mowed about an acre of weeds in our backyard that I did not want to do at all. But I wanted my wife to feel loved. And it was something that she was like, boy, it'd be nice if that was just, you know what I mean? Yeah, so I learned. Even though I was tired, even though my flesh didn't want to do it right, I said no to my flesh. Why? Because I love my wife. And I went out and I mowed that weed infested, like huge. I was dirty. I had stuff all over me. I'm pulling out poison ivy. Praise God, I don't get it. Amen. And all that other kind of stuff. And I just cleaned things up and trimmed some things up and just made that look a lot nicer for her. It was late. I didn't get in until I was ready to go to bed. But why did I discipline my flesh? Because I love my wife. And I wanted her to feel that. When I discipline my flesh and I start thinking like Father, and I start thinking like Jesus, you know what it is? It's his love language, and he feels that. And if we'll start to think about our walk with the Lord and all these things, not according to the commandments, like I'm going to prove myself to be a really good Christian, and I'm going to prove myself to God. There's work to it, but if I'll think about it, I just really want to love him, and I want to be close to him. Yep. Then me making my flesh a living sacrifice doesn't become as hard. Yeah. Reading my Bible doesn't become a chore because I do want to think like him, because I want to be like him. Yep. I want to hang out with different people that challenge me. And it's funny because a lot of the times the people that challenge me don't even know they're challenging me. Because I rarely say it. I just kind of go, whoo, they might love Jesus more than me. I think I'm gonna up my little love equation here with the Lord a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Or they spur me on to good works and stuff. I got so many people reading books now, I cannot read enough books to keep up with them all. And I love that. I do. And they're reading books, and I'm jealous that they have time to read a book that I don't have the time to read, so I ask them a bunch of questions. What you been reading? Tell me some things. Taylor brings me the book. I said, I can't read your highlights. Just bring it in. I want to read them. You know what I mean? And so I read the highlights, and then I get to know what Taylor thinks and how what he thought was cool, and then I get to know him better, and we get closer. And I get closer to the Lord at the same time because he's reading good books. So now, Jacob's favorite scripture, James chapter 1. It says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But patience have its, I'd like to say it this way, perfecting work, that you might be mature and complete, lacking nothing. The mature part is now I'm learning to live by the Spirit more. So when a trial comes and I take the Word of God, the Word of the living God, and I choose to let this be my thought, I choose to let this be my vocabulary, and I face the trial with the thoughts and the vocabulary of my Father, I now release the power of my Father and His kingdom into that situation, and I can experience change. But the biggest thing is this, I get closer to Him, and then my faith is greater. I'm more mature. Because every time I use faith, I get closer to the Father. So now count it all joy. Why? Because I get to get closer to Him, because we're going to go through a trial together. I get to get closer to Him. Because we get to do life together. It's a cool thing. It's a cool thing. I'm going to say goodbye to everybody online. We're just going to say goodbye to them.
Thank you all for tuning into the podcast today. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you're looking to see us in person, we have services every Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m. And if you're unable to attend in person, you can catch us live on our YouTube and Facebook pages at those same times at Resonate Church. You can also find out more information about the church at resonline.org. Remember, let's reach the world from Nuevo and make it hard to go to hell from Michigan.